I think it's about time we got started. Good to remind everybody how our little team has come this far. Our Angels wing started pretty much with the objective of helping independent artists feature their artwork in on cyber galleries, because we realized that a lot of these 10K PFP projects were outshining beautiful independent artists' art. And we just wanted to give them a platform to display their art, talk about their art, and basically connect them to collectors from all over the world. So that's how we got started as the Angels Wing. Today, we're having space chat number 14. And we'd like to introduce our featured artist, Aryan Roos, who I discovered his art on Foundation first. And I really loved his neon collection, and I believe that's probably one of his first collections as well. And when I saw the art, I really loved it, and I collected it because I saw how it presented many different layers to art as how I saw it. Basically, we have a look at the pin message later, a pin tweet later. We can see his neon collection is based on models in dancing poses. And to me, that's already one layer of art. And then there's beautiful lighting in a light tunnel with beautiful reflections on the floor. And on top of that, the dancers themselves have body art that's imprinted or painted on them. So I was really captivated by the different layers of art and, you know, almost getting like a 3-in-1 kind of art piece. So that's how I got to know Aryan's art, and I guess I introduced it to the Angels Wing people, and some of the collectors are here as well. But instead of me going on and on about Aryan's art, why not we bring the man himself to the center stage to maybe just introduce a little bit more about himself for a start, what he does, like Aryan, what do you do, and what kind of motivated you to start your art?
Wow. Well, you could go on for longer because it's nice to hear someone else's perspective on my art. But I will talk a bit about myself. I am Aryan, and I'm a Dutch. I work in a hospital as a lung function technologist, and measuring people's ability to breathe. And I have always had a passion for photography as a child, but it was harder then because every picture had to be developed, and well, you have to be really careful not to shoot too much images. So my photography took a nice jump when digital cameras arrived late in the last century. And I loved taking photographs. And because I got in my last job, I got I was before in a different kind of area working. And I got some mental issues, so I received some help, and he suggested as a therapeutic way to start photographing people. I find it hard to have contact with people. When I meet them, I'm very shy. I'm not really easy in social contacts. So, because of his suggestion, I started to do photographing people, and that went into photo models. And well, I found a passion there, and I wanted to make images that people would feel something when they saw the work I created. But for me, the most important thing in creating art is that I want to learn new techniques. I want to discover myself. I want to discover how I can put my emotions on an artwork. And that's why I always try to develop new techniques, figure out how to do things, and just enjoying the journey of getting there instead of the destination. So that is how my art started. And I've been selling my art for about 8 years now. I think I have more than 500 art pieces for sale in the offline world, different types of art. And since early this year, I found out about the NFTs. And I think NFTs is really a good opportunity for digital artists to get recognition for your work, being able to put your work in the world and still remain ownership, and also at resale you earn a small fee. I think that is really important, being able to do that. That's why I fell in love with NFTs really quick. I did change the way I work. I changed the art to try to be more suitable for the NFT world. Hence my colored art, like the neon collection you talked about earlier.
Wow, that's a great introduction to your work and yourself, Aryan. So obviously, I appreciate neon a lot because I like how it looks as a very futuristic work of art. Would you mind maybe sharing a bit more about? I see you have a lot of different collections. Obviously, I'm talking more about the NFT space because I haven't had the chance to explore your art in the physical world. You mentioned you had a few hundred pieces available. That's really awesome. But yeah, maybe share a bit more about your three favorite collections that you have that I see mainly listed on Foundations and some of the techniques that you use to create these collections. I'm sure your collectors will be very interested to find out.
I have a style of art, even though I use very different types of arts. Or styles of art, but my style is the use of the color red and using many contrasts. And then with contrast, I mean not only just light and dark contrast, but also with color contrast and subject contrast. And in the neon collection, that's what I was going for. I have the female body, the lines of a human body, have a contrast with the cold, futuristic straight lines of the environment, and to contrast that the body paint that is really hand painted. No straight lines, and again, a big contrast. You can also see the contrast in colors there. Sadly, the color red isn't featured that much in the neon collection. I like to try a lot of things because of my art. If I find something new, I want to try to use it in my art. So when people ask me what kind of art you create, I say, well, it's basically mixed media. I use different kind of inputs combine it all together to create an image that I would want to share with people. That is what I do in the real world, and that is also what I try to do in the NFT world. But besides the neon contrast, I also am very much addicted to dance. I love working with ballerinas. I photographed ballerinas in my home studio. They are really awesome to work with because you get amazing results. And they are professionals. They work hard to get where they are. So they also want to work hard to get the just the right image. And yeah, that is something that is really great to work with. So of course, a dance collection is also added on my foundation page. For now, there's just one image in there and two sketched movies. But I plan to do a lot of more dance images there because I have so many. I think a third collection I should probably talk about is the story collection, because if I would just create the art that I would love the most, that would probably be telling a story using stage scene photography. And because not everything is done easily with photography, I combine that with 3D rendering. One of my biggest influencers is a Dutch photographer, Erwin Olaf. Maybe you guys have heard from him. He does stage scene photography, and I love his work. When you watch his work, you can see all kinds of storylines in there, and that's just amazing to keep on seeing a story evolve in front of you by just looking at a photograph. And I'm not even remotely close to what he is capable of. But in the story collection, you can see the artwork Lost, where you see the woman standing. There's a child, a little girl in a red dress on the floor, in a red car in the background. That's a great example of what I'm looking for. You can see my style as in the contrast there and using the color red. And it does tell a story. And I have a story in my head while I'm creating the art, but I don't want to share the story because I don't want to steer the viewer into my story. I want the viewer to experience the story for himself. That is always, I think, the better story to be told. I think those three collections could use some background story.
That's really great, Arjen. Thanks so much for sharing and going into detail with all of them. Do you have a personal favorite collection or a personal favorite piece out of all your... I know it's like asking you to choose your favorite child, right?
Yeah.
But do you have a favorite piece or a favorite collection?
When I started minting my work on Foundation, I didn't realize I probably should have started with collections from the start. So I minted everything in the same collection, the collection Arjen Roos. And I uploaded my first image. I think it's my first one. It's the image that you can see in the header image of the collection. I created this image especially for the NFTs, but I did it before really knowing what type of art is well shared in the NFT scene. So this is the art I create when I'm doing my real life art, the offline world art. I think it's as far as the NFT art goes, it's my my best one. But because it was on the wrong collection, I removed it. I burned the NFT, and I plan to upload it in the portrait collection one day. Hopefully when the floor price is a little bit more right, because that is it was a huge, a really huge artwork to create. I think it was many weeks, really many hours I put in there. So I don't want to just give it away for hardly anything, even though I don't really care much for the financial part of my art. The biggest compliment you can receive is having someone want to hang your art on his wall or collect your art. That is an amazing feeling, and it gives you warmth. It gives you're proud and. It's something I wish everyone could feel one day. Because work is really, really tough. It's really busy, the work in the hospital. I wouldn't mind being able to start working a day less and trying to make an income of creating my art. Enough for me to work in a day less, so that's why I try to set prices that give me that opportunity eventually.
That's great, thanks, Arjen. You definitely have to mint the NFT because it's your favorite art piece, and to hear that it's not even, or rather, you burnt it. I mean, you have made it very, very rare, but you need it to appear before people can actually buy it, right? Or maybe just set like a very high reserve price.
Maybe that's a good idea, but I don't know yet. I thought because of the crypto prices going down, I thought well, let's hold off with the best piece I have. Until we get more in a positive market again.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. You also mentioned a very important point that I guess quite a few of us wanted to chat about. The fact that your art is very special in one aspect, that it comes with, I would say, almost full commercial rights to the art piece. So if I read some of the descriptions that you put on your web, on your NFTs, you actually state very clearly that any NFT owner is allowed to make and even sell prints of the NFT. But of course, the right transfers to a new owner the moment it is sold. But I actually found it very interesting because honestly, when I bought your art, Arjen, I didn't even see that commercial license part, but I was very pleasantly surprised to see it because I would say you are the first artist to be, first of all, clear about the rights that us collectors have over the art pieces. And number two, you are definitely the first I've seen to give almost full commercial rights to your piece. Now, obviously, the question is what you kind of hinted as to you wanting to see your art on as many walls as possible. But are there any deeper motivations that you would like to share with your collectors of why you included such commercial rights? And do you see that it's necessary in this market to give these commercial rights to sell your art in this bear market?
Yeah, It's when I started to read more about the NFTs, the first thing that came to mind was precisely this: what about rights? When I sell a physical copy of my art, it's really easy. You sell a physical painting or a drawing, and someone owns it, and he can hang it on his wall, but he can't take a picture of it and start sell it off on his own, claiming it is his art, because there are copyright laws in place to make sure that doesn't happen. But in the NFT space, there were no really, at least not that I know of, there were no really concrete set of rules written down as to how copyrights are handled. And I think it's a thing that should be done. I think you should be clear in what you are selling. And as far as I can tell, with not enough legal knowledge, is that copyright always remains with the creator. And if you buy an NFT, it's basically just buying a link to an online image. And it comes with no other rights than bragging rights for the link to the image, and I think that's not fair if you charge enough money. Of course, it depends on what you want to try to do. If you just want to sell a simple thing for people to use in games, I think it probably would be fine to not write down what the what is allowed or not. But as when it comes to one of a kind artworks like these, I think you should explicitly mention what you as an artist feel that needs to be dealt with. Basically a license to go with the art. And because I think and that's for me personal, I think the whole NFT world should get some rules for this and make sure that everyone understands what is included and what's not. But for my personal interest, it's what you said. I it's the feeling of having your art displayed on the wall is amazing. So if a collector has interest in selling prints, I am really happy because more people get to enjoy my art. So why would I not let them do that? And you can always say, if you let the collector use commercial prints, that would maybe be eating away from your own sales, because I also sell prints of my work. I don't think that would be true very much, maybe if you're a really big artist, but for me, certainly not. I think it's just it's better for everyone. The collector has an incentive to want to own the art, because it's not just art that you can hang on your wall. You can even make prints for your friends. You can sell the prints if you want, and that way you can earn back some of the investment you made. And I think that creates a nice investment for a collector, and also for me, because I think when a collector has had his artwork on his own wall as a physical copy, and he has had it on his collection online maybe he wants to move on and sell the art. And by doing so, he automatically creates another group of people that maybe want to print the art and sell the art. And more people get to see my art. And because of the creator getting a percentage of the sale, there's also a financial thing for me there. So yeah, it's basically for me a no-brainer.
Well, I must say that that's very generous and also very forward-thinking. It sounds like you've thought through the steps and definitely playing the long game for this. I think Yun has a question that she would like to ask.
Hi, again. So first of all, thank you so much for sharing your story, and particularly like the part that where you mentioned that you actually went into the creative field or particular photography for therapeutic reasons, and how it actually helped you to discover yourself through art and hopefully also hear part of yourself. So my question is regarding also the copyright that you mentioned. And as Casper mentioned, it's incredible forward thinking of you that to really bring the topic of copyright in your work, and because there's clearly a gray zone, and most of the time it's actually not clear what rights you actually were not, or no rights at all, you actually purchase with the NFT. So my question is, so I saw that you have like pieces, for instance, the girl with the large, this vintage piece of the girl with the hat. You actually sell this also on Redbubble as prints and other merch products. And you have the same piece listed on Foundation. So once the piece is sold to a collector, will you stop also selling prints on Redbubble because the copyright, the commercial right, would be transferred to the owner, no, new owner, kind of?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's a question I was thinking about for a while. I changed the art for the NFT version, so it's a remake of the original art that is sold online as Redbubble. My compliments to you for finding it. And so remastered it for the NFT market, but I'm not selling it with a plain commercial license. I'm just selling it with a license to print yourself as a holder of the NFT. So that doesn't mean I, as a copyright holder myself, can't print the images myself.
I see. I guess there are just not really a clear rules regarding this field. What can be done, what can't be done. So and we actually talked about this, also discussed this in the Angel Swing, and maybe we need to like consult a lawyer or something. And this would be actually kind of interesting to look into. And so like for me, for instance, I the way I saw it is like the NFTs are for me like digital art basically. And so like in the physical world, when you sell your art piece, it doesn't come with a copyright, but at the same time, it just remains like one single like version of it forever. And this is the way actually I also saw like NFTs initially. That's why like for like my pieces, unless I make additions, which only happens on Object right now, like all pieces are just exist. There's only basically one version of it, and I won't ever make new versions with it. So, but it's really interesting to see how different artists like have different ideas about this process.
Yeah, I think in the real world art scene, Also can get additions for different sizes. Could be a new numbered edition. So that I think it's I think that's not just something for a lawyer. I think it's more for the artist. If you as an artist start selling exactly the same art yourself, while you say you sell something else to a collector, I think it's your reputation that gets a hit. So there are only two works that I would consider as an NFT and selling also in the offline world, and that is the vintage portrait you found, and the image I told you about, which is my favorite, because I still think that suits my style really nice. So also for my offline collectors, it's very suitable. But yeah, I think it's something that needs to be thought about more, and yeah, it's difficult. I know I read a couple of weeks ago about the creator of the image with the hanging feet above a skyscraper, and he sold it as a one of a kind, and then sold it again as an edition of I think 30 editions. It's I think mimicking the art world that is in the real world, I think.
So was that resolved, that issue? I didn't read about the artist with the hanging feet. Pretty much this is the artist that climbs very high structures, is it?
Yeah, I don't know if it is the person that is doing the climbing himself. I don't know. I just read the conversation that came along, because there were collectors that were angry because they think it's not fair, and the artist was telling people that well, that's the same thing that is done in the physical art world, so. Maybe that's something that could happen. I don't know, but it's certainly a good thing to think about it once. But because I don't want that same problem, I would never just sell exactly the same artwork on two different places. The artwork that I minted this morning with the light painting, I've made two versions. One I made for an NFT, and one I created for the print website, just to make sure that I never get in that problem region where I don't want to upset my collectors.
Yeah, I think it's a great point you made that. At the end of the day, it's about how an artist makes it as clear as possible to reduce misunderstandings, because at the end of the day, the person that loses out the most is him or herself as the artist, right? If you don't make it clear enough and your collectors lose faith in the value that they're paying, I think ultimately in the long term, the person that loses out the most, the artist, him or herself. So I think it's great that you brought up that point. I'd just like to open up the questions to any of the other listeners or speakers before I go on with my questions. Anyone?
Yeah, I have another question. So for this particular, your favorite piece, you had a model. So... I was wondering whether you, like, for all, you mean you, like, the human figure is, like, very central in your work. And so are all human figures photographed by yourself, or do you also use sometimes stock photography?
I do use some stock photography sometimes, but that's I don't think I've ever used a person from stock photography. All the people you see in my work are photographed by myself, and every photo model has signed a release form, and or it is a 3D render. I use a lot of 3D renders lately. All the neon works are rendered, and of course I have a license to use the renders to sell them.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Okay. Yeah, while the others are thinking of the questions, I just said one at the top of my head. Obviously, we spoke about your origins, your history, and your motivations for getting into NFT art. But now we talk about a bit about the future. Just saw that you dropped a new sneak preview of your new work, which is a racing helmet. So that's something that's quite interesting, because I think most of your work involves the human form, right? Obviously, you spoke a lot about the different models that you use, but I believe this would be your first art piece that's not your first NFT piece that's not human-centric. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? It's beautiful, by the way. I love it. The racing helmet.
Yeah. Well, the racing helmet is more a study object for me. I created the racing texture a while ago, and I just wanted to try to animate something, and I was looking for something that I could texture before animating, and because I had a racing texture, it quickly became a racing helmet. It could have been a person also, but I think because I want to tell a story, I often use people, but I also have a lot of works with animals and architecture in my real world art. So I'm not just a human artist. There's also other things happening, but the animation, I think, in the future, I would want to try to bring a portrait to life by being able to animate it, and that's of course something that was never a necessity for me creating prints, and now it's something that I could try, and that's a whole new world for me. So I'll probably try to animate more things, and I hope one day to be able to create an animated portrait.
I have to admit, when I've seen this, I was thinking of Daft Punk, an electronic band, which is very famous for their helmets. I was thinking there will come a music version with the Daft Punk homage. Do you know the band?
Yeah, I've heard of them. But mine didn't go there. But yeah, I could have made that also. But that wasn't where my mind was going. And racing, I do like to watch races. And I have nephews that love racing. So that's why I have some racing things in my artwork, but it's just a coincidence. I tried a helmet today.
Actually, one other question I had with regards to more of like a bigger picture question for artists is we do have artists in our Discord and some of the collectors as well chiming in about their thoughts on an artist, whether they should have a single identity for their collections, or versus maybe something like yourself. I mean, Aryan, your pieces have a very good common theme of human figurines that are, like you've mentioned, high contrast and have a very distinctive personal feel to your collections as a common thread. But I think for someone who's new to your work can be seen to be quite varied in the sense that you look at, for example, your portraits versus your neons. And then if we look at your racing helmet, it's really quite different. So what advice would you give to artists who are perhaps new to not just the NFT space, but it, maybe even in the physical space when they're first starting out trying to build a collector base? Do you focus on one look or one collection first, or you think it's okay to just keep trying and have like what you're having, multiple collections, and see what works and whatever you feel that you're comfortable with? Which approach do you think you would tell a new artist coming into the space?
Yeah, that I think it's a great question, and I have read a lot of advice when I started in the NFT world. That an artist better have work that is comparable, and collectors straight away will recognize his work. And I think that is a logical thing to think, and probably raises your worth because you're getting a sort of an expert view of a certain type of art creation. But for me myself, I'm not someone that wants to stick to one type of thing, because for me the finished product isn't the thing, it's the journey to get there. So I love to try new things and try different things. I would hate to just have to make art that is really comparable to all the other artworks you created. So for me it's for the collectors, I try to at least create a lot of collections, so at least the subjects are sorted out. But even within collections, I use different styles of creating art. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's a better question for collectors. But what I've read about it is that it's probably better to not do this this many types of styles of art, I think.
Do any of my Angel Wing OGs like to comment on this very divisive and debatable topic?
Yeah, maybe me. thank you for being first, or for giving me the chance. I've discussed with my father, who's a real artist in my case, about this topic very much, and he was always his opinion was your style will change over the year anyways, and usually have in every time every 10 years a very distinct style that everybody is trying to copy because the collector is awaiting this. There was, for example, 20 years, the German brutal style where everything was very minimized and it was brutal. It was not fine and detailed. And everybody was doing this, collector were trying to get this, and finally it was over. And if you are then this kind of artist, which is going with the masses, then you have an issue when this time is out. So his advice was always do what you think is the best, the artwork you like to do. And you want to be distinguishable from everybody. And if you think you should do different kind of artworks, then don't listen to the other people telling you what you have to do. So if you think today I will make pink pictures and tomorrow I will make black pictures. And then somebody's complaining to you that you have bad mood of artwork and you should stop this. I would say, no, please not, because maybe this the artist had a bad mood or the artist wanted to express something else, because we are just humans. So I really would advise, don't listen too much to the people, because if you are listening too much, then you will be just not that much distinguishable. Then you are doing what everybody is doing. Doing all the, then you are copying from each other. That would be my advice. Do what you want. Do what you think, which is great and awesome, which is a stunning artwork in the end. And of course, next time it can look different, of course.
Yeah, I think you're totally spot on with that. I think if for me, it art creating is a process, and I use this for mental healthness, but also because I want to out my emotions. I want to out my thoughts. I want to share something with other people. And that's a whole different kind of process than trying to figure out what would sell better and just a commercial type of creating art just because it sells better, you have to create it. For me, that's not how I want to create my art. I just want to feel what I want to create, follow my gut, and that's the art that is coming out. And if a collector doesn't like that, then you should probably collect from someone else.
Espresso, you wanted to add some comments of yourself?
Yeah, and this would be from the collector point of view. So I think this question often comes from the fact that as collectors, we kind of navigate the space and observe a lot of art from a lot of different artists and kind of pick the ones that are interesting and research more and look into their style. And then it's kind of that process of discovery lends itself very heavily to kind of putting artists in a box. So kind of you see one piece, you think this is it, this is the style. If I go there, I'll find more like this. And I think what I've realized as I've kind of collected more work is that I actually like to turn this process a bit around and learn more about the artists, like try to learn what's driving them, what's their inspiration, how's their process. And then it's much easier to appreciate a wider range of outputs, because you kind of the artist is the origin of all of it. And it was, as was mentioned here, like one day can be one direction and another day can be a different direction. And it's still one artist, one collection of work. So I think I'm appreciating that aspect and trying to not put people in a box based on one piece only, which is kind of tricky, at least when you navigate a lot of different work, like on social media, for example. So that's my input on that question.
Yeah, that's great. Sorry, Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, I also think that maybe a lot of advice on at least at in the NFT community on Twitter also can come from people that claim to be a collector, but maybe they are 16-year-old boys that bought a couple of pictures online and have basically never dealt with any art before, that have an opinion because they want to do if they want to use art that is popular, and that's different motivation, but maybe that's the advice that gets out because they are popular in this space.
Yeah, I think actually with advice, a lot of things it's similar to for giving financial advice. Everyone's situation is different. Obviously, if you're an artist that is looking to put food on the table and pay your bills, you have to have a very practical approach to your art, right? Obviously, making art that sells becomes ever that more important than someone who's able to wait for a collector to come and discover your art and really appreciate your art before they buy it. So yeah, but it's just really interesting to be hearing all these different perspectives, because my initial view was always that an artist should always have a very strong identity. But after being in the NFT space for almost over a year, I've realized that that's not true at all. I mean, we have seen artists who have quite a diverse spread of collections. And I think sometimes being good at something can also help help you to cross-pollinate your collectors to other collections as well. So I don't think there's ever a surefire way, but like Johannes pointed out, as long as you're passionate, as long as you like doing what you do, I think that will carry you through your art journey and your NFT journey as well. So,
and maybe it's not even the right time. So funny enough, a lot of pieces which were made, physical pieces, 10, 15 years ago, are right now having a sellout. So sometimes you are making art and it's not the right time. So the biggest problem in the physical world is a place to store them, having a big gallery where you can put them because you think it's great. And yes, as you said, you have to wait for the collector. And finally, someday, all the old pieces are getting sold, which is totally, you don't get it why it's now happening. But yeah, that's a big opportunity with NFTs. There is no physical space limiting you. You can produce the art. Okay, it's not in the mood of any collector who has seen me right now. But you know, there are so many people on the planet. I'm sure there will be somebody who can appreciate this type of style, this type of art. Not now, but maybe in 10 years, you know. And now we have the place to store it. Because physical artwork has a really huge problem. After some time, you have to throw it away or give it for free because space is so much limited.
Yeah, I guess what you're kind of hinting is that we all need to wait for the bull market to come back, right?
It's everywhere the same. It comes in waves, right? Physical world, digital world. Sometimes people are going crazy and then nobody wants to collect, and then when the bull market starts again, I should have invested, you know.
Yeah, that's always the case. So anyway, I'll just go one round to see if anyone else has any other questions for Aryan.
Yeah, I have one more. So I was curious to hear if when you create work now, do you still put some of it as NFTs and some of it as not NFTs, to put it that way? Or is it only one or the other?
Yeah, nice question, because I started doing the my older work and try to use that in the NFT scene. Then because I started selling works, I thought, oh, well, I should just focus on NFTs. And so I created NFTs that I wasn't selling in my print store. And then, the market changed a little bit. And so, yeah, well, now I'm looking at both. And some artworks, they do just scream NFT world to me, and all the art will scream the offline world for me. But most of the art probably compatible with both. So I make two versions with those artworks.
Thank you. Yeah, that's interesting. And I have to ask, so what makes an artwork scream NFTs?
Yeah, good question. I wrote a few keywords down. If you would ask what kind of vision for the NFT scene I have, and that is way
yes,
more
please.
Core. Now, I think all the NFTs have amazing colors, way too much for most artworks on a wall. They're often drawn cartoony styles, animation. They're loud. They're yelling. They're look at me. I'm here. They all want to be noticed, and that's not the work that I usually create for the print selling market. They're more behaved. They're softer. I think you could try to explain it more like that.
Thank you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, I'm amazed because I had exactly the same discussion, and we're trying to figure out why this is, how you described so much more colorful, because actually you will find nobody in the real world putting something to the wall where everybody is looking all the time to the image, because there's a rest of the room too, and you wouldn't put this on a wall, but on a small mobile phone, because a lot of NFT stuff is just regarded or watched on a mobile phone, there's a totally different situation. Maybe the sun is shining on the screen. So I think this is also a reason, because there's a totally different medium, and on a small mobile phone, a classical artwork would just be unimpressive. Same for animations, because a canvas on a wall isn't possible to animate. And on a mobile screen, stuff which is just staying there is boring. But exactly the same observations we had too. So I'm glad to hear what you say. Thank you very much for confirming this.
And also
landscape or also squares, you know. For example, also this.
Oh, yeah.
You have landscapes and square. Usually you have portrait mode or landscape mode. But for NFT world, usually you have just poor squares, because this fits in both orientations. This is something which would never happen on a wall. There, people want to have landscapes, for example, for their white rooms, or the other way around, if you want to make the room wider or smaller. But on a mobile phone, it works well, much more better if it's a square. And in a physical world, it's really tricky to sell squares. Yeah, so a lot of things are different because it's watched on a small screen.
Yeah, and I think that you also have to remind that a physical artwork on a wall, you have probably more time to notice it, to study it, and to take it in. And in the digital world, everything goes fast. You have to fight for attention span of the viewer. They are scrolling to their screens very fast, so you have to scream, because otherwise you won't get noticed.
I hear you. Thanks.
Yeah, this is such an interesting discussion. I think when Arjen was talking about NFT collections having to be loud and yelling and very bright, I immediately thought of the Neon collection, and I guess I'm one of these NFT collectors who looks out for the nice bright colors and things that capture my attention straight away. So I think it's pretty true that there's a place for different types of art in both the physical and NFT world. And I bet we could continue this conversation for a long time. It's a really interesting one. Maybe we could even continue it on the next space, but we've already exceeded our time as usual. I would just like to thank everybody here for listening in, and especially Arjen for taking the time. Even though he says he's not a native English speaker, I think he's done really, really well. I mean, I couldn't tell. So thanks very much, Arjen, and everyone else for listening in. Arjen, and any other things, any other final thoughts before we close up the space?
No. Thank you for your compliment. It was a great thing to do. I think we should do this more often. I liked it very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. So have a great Sunday or Monday, everyone, depending on where you are around the world. And we are the Angels Wing. Come join us on our Discord. All right. See you, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.